Well, good morning again to all of you. This week we continue in our new sermon series called The Summer of Love. Our God is love. And we know from John 3:16 that God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus Christ to redeem us. And last week we looked at the greatest commandment, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, strength, and minds. And if we claim to be Christians, then that should be our number one priority, to love God with our all. And while Jesus was here on earth, he certainly set the standard for love by the way he loved so many people, regardless of their race, their gender, their social status, or their sin. And Jesus had a special kind of love for his disciples. A few months ago, I did a sermon where we looked at how Jesus redefined family. Recorded in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said, "Who are my brothers and my mother and my brothers?" he asked. And then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus had a special fondness for his disciples, a unique kind of love. The kind of love he tried to teach them right up to the night that he was arrested. Jesus spent a good portion of the Last Supper teaching his disciples about love. Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist, and he stooped down and washed the feet of each of his disciples. And after he predicted his betrayal by Judas, and just before he predicted his denial by Peter, he told them that he was going to be taken away from them. And in the midst of all that was going on this final night with them, he gave them a new command. And John 13 reads, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Jesus knew that this was going to be a really hard time for his disciples. He knew that they did not yet understand what was about to happen. And he knew that if this new way was going to take root and survive, if these disciples were going to become the church, the disciples had to stick together and love each other. He said, "People will know you are my disciples." He said, "They will know you are my devoted followers." He said, "The world will know you are my church if you love one another." If you love one another. If you love one another. John records later that same night in chapter 15 that Jesus again tells them, "This is my command, love each other." Now, if Jesus says the same phrase twice in the same night, I think that is a very important statement. Love each other. This had a profound effect on the disciple John. John not only wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote three epistles that talk a lot about love. 1 John 3, he writes, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another." John writes that we should love one another. Then in the next chapter, he writes in 1 John 4:7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And he writes, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." And if we go on down to verse 19, he continues, we love because he first loved us. You see that? We love because he first loves us. He didn't say we love each other because what we do for each other, or that we're perfect, or that we're good, or anything else. We love because God loves us. And he writes, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Love starts with God. And God's love is demonstrated by our love for one another. We, as a church, are brothers and sisters. And that is something that comes straight from Jesus Christ. He said, whoever does the will of the Father are brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we love God, we must love each other. Then we have to ask ourselves, and why does it seem at times to be so hard to do? Why do we see people attack each other within the church? Why do we see people that hold grudges that are decades long? Why do we have people who have flat out told me, I cannot forgive that person? We should be setting the standard of love for the world to follow. Yet all too often we cannot even get along with each other. There was a problem in the early church. Paul called for the followers to resolve their differences quickly. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes, I plead with Euodia and with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. To be of the same mind in the Lord. And he says, yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. You see, we are to work together to resolve any of our differences quickly, because how we love and treat each other directly affects how we spread the gospel. Peter wrote this in his first epistle letter. He said, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And Paul writes of the same things in several of his letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Philippians chapter 2, he writes, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Colossians 3, he writes, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And to the church of Romans, he writes, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful and prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. To the church of Galatia, chapter 6, he writes, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. All of these were written to different churches. So they all had the same problems, or he wouldn't have said it again and again. And I love this last one. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I think it's pretty clear that we are to have a great unity and a great love for each other. The world will know we are His disciples by our love for one another. Exactly 2 years ago, we shared my very first Sunday together. And in that time, we have been through some difficulties. We have been through some exciting things. We have had healing and we have had growth. And we have supported many different ministries and food pantries. And then we're all thrown a major curveball with this COVID-19. And we know that there still is a looming divide in our denomination that just keeps getting pushed back down the road. We have a country being torn apart over politics, and it only looks to get worse. We as a church need more than ever to be unified in our beliefs, to be unified in our mission together, and for the world to see our love for God, our love for each other, and our love for the unbelievers. The early church set the example for us to follow. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You see that? That's a pretty good motto, isn't it? Devote ourselves to the Scripture, to being together, having communion, and prayer. It says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. See, when we get it right, and we live in the Holy Spirit, and we're loving and we're growing, people will be amazed by the things that this church will do. And he writes that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Do you see the church is more than 1 hour a week? They met daily. They got together. They shared. And what was the result of what they did? That passage concludes by saying the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As we navigate through these tough times together, I want us to look towards the early believers of the church. For nearly 300 years, the Christian church was widely persecuted. They were despised by the Jews and treated as heretics. They were tortured and hunted down by the Romans. They were beaten, persecuted. They had their land and their possessions taken away from them simply because of their beliefs. They had their businesses destroyed. They were run out of towns. Yet in spite of all of this, Christianity grew. Because people saw that what they had was real. Churches were first formed in Jerusalem, and then into the surrounding areas of the Middle East, and then to the Mediterranean and North Africa. It reached Rome and continued westward towards Europe, and early records show that the gospel even made it to India. This all happened while it was still being persecuted by Rome. And why? Because the believers had an incredible faith. They believed in the love of God and the love that they had for each other. They took care of each other, met together as a church and met together in their homes. They took care of one another and made sure no one was in need. And now with this COVID-19, we may have to be a little more creative and intentional. But there are ways we can still all be connected. If you have a computer or a smartphone, you're one click away from seeing anybody you want to see. There are ways we can still serve one another. There are ways we can still love each other. And in these trying times when the world is divided over so many issues, and now more than ever, the world needs to see us stand in unity in our faith beliefs. They need to see that our hope and our peace are found in Jesus Christ and not a political party. God's word is truth. God's word is love. And by following God's truth, we find out what real freedom is. Because freedom is not in a set of laws or on a piece of paper. Real freedom is in your heart. When you have been saved and released from the bondage of sin. When you see and feel and experience the love of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit overwhelms you and gives you a passion of love for other people. You see, through God's grace, we are transformed and we have a new identity through Christ. We like to live by a lot of labels, don't we? I've known people, I've gone into nursing homes that, oh, I've been a United Methodist for all my life, or I've been this. Or we put people into groups on the left or groups on the right and groups of all kinds. But you see, our real identity comes through Christ. And that's how we need to live. We as Christians need to continually refocus. We need to reprioritize our lives so that God is first. And then we serve others. We need to be committed to be what we have been called to be. For we are called to be in this world, but not of this world. We are God's adopted sons and daughters. We are to grow daily to be more and more like Christ. The world needs to see that we will not be defined by any of the world's standards. That instead we will be defined by our love for God, our love for each other, and our mission to bring that same love to the unbelieving world. Do you get that? The world needs to see that we will not be defined by their standards. Don't let them put us in a box and label us how they want to label us. But instead, let us do what we were called to do. Our love for each other should be so great. Our love for others should be so wonderful. We should be so prominent in what we're leading and doing that we are defined by our love for God, our love for each other, and our mission to bring that same love to the unbelieving world. Because in my eyes, there's only two kinds of people. Those who know and love God, and those who don't know God. And that's how we need to see people. And it should be our mission to bring the love that we have for God, the love that we have for each other, to the unbelieving world, so they can have the same peace, the same grace, and the same freedom we all enjoy. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for your abounding love. So many times we have just taken your love for granted, and we have allowed so many other priorities in our life to come before your love. And we have allowed so many other priorities of serving ourselves that we have not taken the time to love one another. And Lord, if we want true peace, if we want true happiness, And we can find it through your love. And we can find it by loving and serving each other. And if we show each other the great love that you have showed us, then the world will see we truly are your disciples. And when they see us going out and serving and sharing that love with the lost world, they will be willing to hear our message because they see that not only do we preach it, but we live it. Lord, let us become a people of love. And that love starts with your love for us and our love for each other. Lord, may that love continue to grow. Lord, it has been an incredible 2-year journey. This is a place I love. Let us join together and share that love continuously with each other. This I ask and pray through the power and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we depart here today, hear these words from the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let us now depart from here and show the world our love for God and our love for one another. Let us go from here in unity through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.